Probando, probando. Mi nombre es Marcos Muñoz. My name is Marcos Muñoz. I was born in Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, México. I was born April 25th, 1941. I'm going to try to explain my story as how I come out in the United States. Many years ago, me, my family, my father, my mother, you know, and my brothers, we live in Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, and we are poor family. And we got poor and poor and poor when my father left us. It was very hard for my mother to raise us, who were 6 children and her family. My mother used to come into the Rio, Texas, which is the border from Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, and go into some houses and wash clothes, iron clothes, clean up the house, housekeeping. And my mother got paid 75 cents American money a day. With that 75 cents, in order for us to get back into Mexico, was at least 50 cents, we had to walk. We had to walk all the way to Mexico, which was between 8 and 9 miles. To go back into Mexico. We used to stop in the gas stations and pick up those cans that was oil, 1 gallon of oil, they call mobile oil. We used to take those cans into Mexico and open it up and sell them for 50 cents for people to carry water or other things. Sometimes people, they give my mother some clothes that they don't want no more. We call them second-hand store, second-hand clothes. My mother, we used to take it back to Mexico, and we wash the clothes, and we go to the little villages, the small farms, and sell that. And sometimes we get to one place where the lady likes a blouse, or skirt, or pants, or some of the items that we had for sale. But they didn't have no money. My mother always say, give me that chicken, or give me some corn, give me some eggs. We trade it. Then we bring it back to town, and the chickens, we go to the restaurants and sell those chicken for 12 pesos. We make 2 pesos in that chicken. And that's the way my mother supports. It was a hard struggle. I sometimes had a little box, and I go out and do chuchain. Sometimes I make some money, sometimes I don't. When the Americans used to come to see the bullfight, I used to open the door for those Americans, and I said, can I wash your car here? Then you come back. And the men say yes, and they give me a quarter, or a dime, or a nickel, and some they give us a dollar. And that's one way that we used to make a living. to help support the family with my mother. We went on like this for a while. Then one day, Jose, put it this way, in the Rio, Texas, it has a big, army camp with a lot of soldiers. And every time the soldiers get paid, they come into Mexico. Some they come to do some shopping, jewelry. Some they come to watch the bullfights. And some comes to look for the señoritas. No. And this was happening every time that the soldier gets paid. There was nothing wrong with that. Then such a time, I learned that one of my sisters, he was doing prostitute in order to help my mother. At that time, I'm thinking maybe 13 or 14 years old, something like this. That's how old I was. When I found out, I was very embarrassed that my sister doing that. I felt very demoralized. And that's the time I thought about coming into the United States. One day, I swim the river. I didn't have no papers, so I swim the river. And I walk, and I walk, and I find a ranch. The old lady there, he gave me a job, you know, helping her in the farm, and picking up the eggs of the chickens, feeding the pigs, cleaning the corral, you know, that kind of work. And he paid me $2 a day and the meals and a place to stay. So I worked there maybe a month and a half or 2 months, something like this. And there was a gentleman coming to the ranch, a friend of this lady, and he said that he needs somebody to go work for him. And he asked me if I could go work for him. And he would promise me they would pay me $3 a day and food and a place to stay. So I said yes. So when we left the place there, they put me in the trunk of the car because I didn't have no papers. So they hid me under the trunk of the car and would row and row and row. To finally we got to his ranch. When we got down to the ranch, he told me what he wanted me to do. So I said, okay. So I started working for him and I worked about 5 months. And the 5 months, I said to him one day, I'd like to go back home. I miss my mother, and I want to go home. And that man said, if you wait, and tomorrow, my wife will go downtown, take you to the bus station so you could take the bus and go directly to Del Rio from here. I said, well, that's very good. I was very happy. I went on by my work that particular day. When I come back, I start putting my clothes in a bag, you know, and I went to sleep. Next day, I woke up around 5 o'clock because somebody was touching me, my hands. And there was the immigration putting the handcuffs in my hands to report, take me back to Mexico, you know. Because I didn't have no papers. That's why they had to take me back to Mexico. I said to him that, let me go knock on the door of my boss so he could pay me so you could take me. The immigration gave me the okay, so I went and knocked on the door. And knock, and knock. The boss never answered. The car and the pickup, it was there in the lot, so I know he was there. But they never answered. So finally the immigration said, I'm sorry, but I had to take you. And so finally they put me in the paddy wagon and they brought me to a town called McAllen, Texas. And as we was gone, the immigration said that I'm sorry that he had to take me, but it was a report. They report you, and I had to come and pick you up. So it becomes very clear that the boss did that in order not to pay me. And when he did that, he hurt me very, very much. He hurt me because I had a big rims. For 5 months' work, at $3 a day, I figured I would come out with some money to my house, and I'd be able to help support my family. I'd be able to buy a little car, sell apples, oranges, peanuts, you know, something to make a living, you know. And this man destroyed my dreams. As I told you, I came to the United States because I was embarrassed and my sister, he was doing prostitute. And I fall when this man didn't pay me. Not only didn't pay me, but it destroyed my dreams, and I feel exploited the same way that my sister did. I fully exploited the same way that my sister. Finally, they put me in McAllen, Texas. They keep me there, but I think something like 25 or 30 days in there. Then after that, they report me through a town called Reynosa, Tamaulipas. Completed new state, new town. I never been anywhere else. So I was there. But no money. And not knowing which way I'm supposed to go, or which way I should go. So finally, me and another young man, we crossed the river and we come into the United States. In my mind, I come to the United States to get my money and to hurt that man because what he did to me. I was very bitter. And this is how I began to come into the United States and finding out what exploitation was in this part of the world. I went on, me and my other friend, we went on working in Texas in different places, picking cotton around San Angelo, Texas, Abilene. And then from there we moved towards Lubbock, Texas. And then from there we go to Harper, Texas to pick potatoes and moss cotton, you know. And this is how I began to be a farm worker. From there we went to Colorado, Wyoming, Nebraska, and move on towards that way, then we got into California. coming to California, coming to Oregon, Ohio, Idaho, you know, then back into Texas again. We went on and dived different places like this. In each state, it's a different crop. In each corner, it's a different crop. So you move from crop to crops. Sometimes you stay 1 month, sometimes you stay a month and a half, sometimes you stay 2-3 weeks and move on again. You know, this is the life of the farm workers. This is one of the reasons many of the farm workers, we don't have education, because we move along with the family. We follow the season, and that's the biggest poverty of the farm workers. So sometimes you fall that that's the God, that's the way God wants it, and that's the way it's going to be. So in a way you blame God for that. And sometimes you no longer have any hopes to do anything else. And I went on like this. Then I settled down in Bakersfield, California. There was back in 1965. 1965, I went to work in the grapes in Delano, California. When we were working there, I heard some noises. I heard people talking. I heard people saying, "Huelga." I heard people saying, "Come and join us." I heard people say, "Stand up for you, so your rights." If you don't stand up, the Lord is never going to recognize us. We're always going to be underpaid. And I heard those things. And I, in my mind, I thought about these people. They're right what they're saying. It's been a lot of abuses all over agriculture. So I listened for a little while. And I work half a day. And at lunchtime, I went out. I went out and joined the strikers. And I remember talking to a man. The supposed was the leader of that particular picking line. And I said that I didn't have no money. And I didn't have no car. So I didn't know how I'm gonna get back to Bakersfield. So the man said, "Come with us." They took me back to the headquarters of the United Farm Workers, the place we call the Pink House. And the Pink House, I met several people that was in a strike. And they took me to one room there, and they gave me some potatoes, beans, to give me some groceries. Not too much, because they didn't have very much. And they gave me a ride to Bakersfield, back to my house. When I got home, I told my wife there was a strike going on out there, and I couldn't stand there because what the man was saying, he was right. So I went out. So they gave me some groceries. Here I am, you know. And after that all night, it bows my head. My head, it bows because I keep thinking and thinking and thinking what this all about, what it was going to be. And another day, I went back to Delano. I went back to Delano to try to understand what exactly it was going to be. what exactly was going to happen with me. And I talked to the man that now all of us we know, his name is Cesar Chavez. And he sat down by the pink house and told us about, talked to us about a lot of things. And he was explaining why it's a strike, what he was trying to accomplish. And he said that we like to be able to establish where the farm worker could make at least $1.25 an hour. Where the farm worker would have respect from the lords. Where the farm workers could have toilets in the fields, drinking water conditions. Where the contractors should be able to pay us with a check, not with cash, you know. So could the contractors pay us what is just supposed to be paying, not just keep cheating us, you know. So they talk about those kinds of things. But then also in the long run, they begin to talk about what it's going to take to get this. It probably would take a week. Probably would take a month, probably would take years. But this is a long struggle. And I understood that, as we didn't stand up, we're never going to be counted. So I decided to join the strike in the quarter picket lines, in the fields. And I was kind of embarrassed, and I didn't speak very much English, but in the fields I didn't need it because everybody talked Spanish. And I went to the fields and I listened to the people talk to the people working inside of the fields. And the strikers keep saying, come on and join us in a strike. Come on, my friend. Come on, sister. Come on, brother. Join us. Look at all the reasons why we should be able to be in a strike. So I listened and I listened for a while to find it. Something come out of my mouth. And I start talking in some of those fields. And I happen to know a lot of those farm workers because, as I say, we've migrated all the way from Texas into California. So we go to different states and the different counties. And sometimes we work together so we know what happened in each of those counties. And sometimes when I talk to those people, I remind them the cases where the labor contractor didn't pay us. I remind them where sometimes they call the immigration to report us, you know, in order not to pay us. I remind them that sometimes we go for the labor contractor, we say, for example, we got 100 boxes of grapes, and the contractor write it down on a piece of paper. But at the end of the week, you say, no, that Tuesday you only gave 90 boxes of grapes. So Aromeri takes 10 boxes of grapes from us. And there's nothing we can do because if we said that you're stealing from us, we won't have no job. So sometimes we had to take it. When I talk to people about those kinds of things that they happen to us, sometimes those people come out. And the many of the time people come out, I begin to have a little faith in myself. Maybe I don't know what I said to them, but maybe I did something good. Maybe I said something good, because some of those people come out. And I was proud of myself. And that's when I began to recognize that I have something to give, and I have something to receive. There was a new way for me, a new life for me, a new understanding about what life is all about, you know. So I began to be most involved and most dedicated, you know. I wanted to work day and nights and the picket lines. So we went to organize in different places. We used all kinds of techniques. I used to go and visit the strike breakers at their houses, into the camps, and try to convince them for them to help us by going, working in someplace else, you know. We go and talk to them, trying to explain to them what the strike is all about it and why they don't come out, and trying to understand them, and we want them to understand us too. So we did a lot of techniques, like I said. Sometimes we go inside of the field and talk with them, you know. We're hiding, and we go hiding and talking to them and explain to them again to help us to do this, to do that. And a lot of the times we had to understand why they can't come out in a strike. A lot of these people come from Mexico like us. Some of those people, they're married, they got family. And they swim the river. They come into the United States, they're looking for the same thing that we were looking for. And for there, they understand this union, but one thing they can't understand, to see their family going hungry. So they need to make a check. They need to get paid in order to send some money to their family. And when you really look at it, that's true. That's why the men could not join us. Not because they don't understand the strike, it's because he cannot leave the family, go hungry, because they depend on him for their check. So when we come to the kind of understanding, then the second question was, did you come to break the strike, or you come to make some money? And like I said, they say, I come to make money. Well, if you come to make money, then don't worry about cleaning the grapes. Don't worry about seeing if the grape got 16% sugar or not. You just cut and fill the boxes. Cut and fill the boxes. You know, when you fill that box, then do us another favor. You get a bunch of grapes and squeeze it and put it in the middle of the box and cover it up a little bit. The boxes that you pick in and you squeeze like this, by the time it gets to Chicago or New York or Boston or some of those cities, it's about 6 or 7 pounds of grapes. They're no longer any good. When it gets to the supermarket got to pay somebody else to clean the grapes, because he can sell them like this. The growers lose money. You made money, because you don't have to clean. You don't have to clean the grapes. Then you make more boxes. You make money. When the boxes, the grapes get down to the town, to the city, then it's when the grower, the boss, is going to feel it. And this is why I think you could help us that way, which many of them did. Many of them help us in that regard. Some people help us by moving on to another county. Some people help us by joining the strike. So there was many ways that people help us, but it was taking a long time. You know. In the meantime, the United Farm Workers, we didn't have very much money, so it was very hard. I remember that time, they gave us $5 a week to the strikers as a strike benefit. It's hard to live with $5 a week. That finally was one day, the Chavez asked some people, we could go to San Francisco, San Jose, Sacramento, different towns, and talk to the organization, churches, and ask them for some food ask him for some clothes, and tell him the strike going on in the Leno, you know. So we did that. And many children.